you're a survivor? What? Bro, are you listening to Survivor? Guys, I think this is Survivor. Dude, you must really like Survivor.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Survivor Buffs, Blindsides, and Banter Podcast. This is the podcast made by superfans, with superfans, for superfans. I'm your host, Buckles, and with me I've got my mate, Mac. Mac, how you doing?
Buckles, oh man, I am fantastic. We have had the penultimate week of Australian Survivor. We're down to the final five, and wow, what a final five we have. This is an absolute great cast that are left. We've got, you know, the four big players we discussed at Merge are all there somehow, and some of them are doing their cases a world of good, and others are really destroying their chances of winning, and I'm sure we'll get into it today, but it's set up for a really great final week, which I'm so excited about.
It could not have gotten better, and we've got to give it to the Australian Survivor producers for getting us to fall in love with these four, and these four making it all the way here. And then there's Raymond.
exactly.
Talking about the person that's always quiet and in the corner. Actually, our guest this week, who is definitely not quiet, we got Leah Jacobson, the robbed goddess of Sydney Survivor Season 1.
There you go, Leah.
Please, guys, hold your applause. I mean,
crowd's gone wild here.
Yeah. Clearly.
No, thanks, guys, for having me. I'm looking forward to it.
We're looking forward to having you. We have loved your opinions on our group chat through the season, and we just had to get you on. I know we decided before the season, but you had to come on because we need to know. We need your opinions and just your banter about this episode, these last three episodes, which, let's be serious, not a lot happened, and yet everything happened. This could be a lot of fun tonight.
Mm-hmm. With us, it will most definitely be a good time.
Yeah, you're saying it's a quiet week, which it sort of has been. I would argue probably the worst week of the season in terms of a viewing product. But even so, as bad as it was still great Survivor. So I say the term bad very loosely because just in comparison to the rest of the season, it's probably a bit of a down moment. But still good Survivor, still great TV. A lot sort of more going wrong for people than it was going right. It was very fun to just see people, you know, just fall over themselves to make errors. And it was just a really, you know, calamitous week, which is fun. Who doesn't like seeing mistakes in Survivor? I get sick of watching perfect Survivor. It's good to see people, you know, just flame out, like Alex, like Carolyn perhaps. So, yeah, what a week.
Well, the whole premise of Survivor is to adapt, right? So it makes perfect Survivor when we have things going wrong because we want to see how gameplay changes when you're put in a really precarious situation. How are these players going to adapt? How are they going to outwit, outplay, and outlast? It makes for perfect Survivor.
Adaptability is definitely something that this next person we're going to talk about is going to have to do coming into the final week. This big move did not work out as planned, but I just want to say before we start, I guess, ripping her to shreds, I want to talk about how brave it was for Caroline to play this on at the final six for someone else, someone that's not realistically that close to her, leaving herself vulnerable. And in theory, this would have been a spectacular move if it was able to be pulled off. Now, do we want to get into why it wasn't pulled off? Because I've got a few notes on this as well.
Yeah, I just thought it was a bit of like almost trying to have your cake and eat it too. Like, did we need to do this move? Like, is Carolyn in such a low position on the totem pole to win? I'm not so sure. I thought she's played quite a good game up to this point. I think she has the highest percentage of correct voting out of everyone left. Like, there's a path to the end without doing this, and there's certainly two people there she can beat. So was it necessary? And let's pretend it was necessary. Fine. She's not going well and she needs moves. Like, she didn't really set it up that well. I mean, you didn't tell the person you're playing the idol for. You didn't tell your number one alliance to get on board with it. Like, what the hell?
I'm gonna throw it back at you, and you say that she doesn't really need to build from what we've seen. Now, we are seeing a TV product, and we have seen Caroline do some really, really good things. Not a lot that she's sort of been in control of as of recently, but we've seen her be able to do some really good things. Out there on the island, we've heard in the last few weeks, Caroline's emotional. She has a feeling. She was crying. This archetype of the older woman, unfortunately, is not known to win Survivor. She's not known, this archetype is not known to be unbeatable at the end. And having a big move like this could well and truly cement the chance that she may have at the end. Whereas if she goes against a Ferris who's likable and been in control and out front with everything, and a Kirby who's just been so dominating throughout the whole game, she sort of is almost burnt by their personalities. Their personalities are too big for her to compete with. So I genuinely believe this move, if pulled off, would have definitely been worth it. Like, the chalk was worth the squeeze. Definitely worth it for her.
Yeah, I think the sense we're sort of getting, at least as a viewer, is that she's not overly liked out there. Like, she's had confrontations with, you know, Valeria, with Jaden on the jury. I don't think Eileen was a huge fan. Like, there's not that many advocates out there for her, except for maybe Kitty. And I would say Kirby's probably could see what she's doing as well, because they've worked together at certain points. So I think she's played a good game. We see her as in a swing vote twice this week. So she's obviously doing something right, but I don't know if it's translating out there in real life. So yes, she might need to make the move, but like I said, if you have to make a move, like, why not make sure it works? Like, why not set up some plans in place, tell some people, let's cross our T's and dot our I's. Like, I just feel like it was so underprepared. It was so far-fetched to think that these four people are all voting for Mark when, you know, like, had no real assurances from anyone.
We are definitely going to get into this, but I very much agree. She did not think this through, and we'll go through the dot points about what she missed and what she fucked up. But the long story short is this could have been a huge, and this could have been a game-winning move if she had it. Now, Leah, tell me, first thing that hits your mind, where did she fuck up here? What was the biggest problem with this move?
I think biggest part of this move is not cluing in the guy that she's trying to play the idol for. I mean, how are you going to try and pull off this amazing move all by yourself when you don't have an inch of an idea of what everyone else is really doing? You think you've got the idea, but you don't know that for sure. I think it would have been so much better if she'd clued at least one person in.
Yeah. So what you're saying there is not having enough social capital to know what the group's doing, not knowing exactly, being left out of the loop because she just doesn't have that social capital to sort of get them all on her side so she could do this move by herself. She needed to actually rope someone else in to know what everyone else is thinking.
100%. And I mean, just because you've clued someone in on your move, it doesn't make it not your move anymore. I think that in this day and age of Survivor, people are starting to see it has to be your idea and you have to be the one leading it to be included on the move. But why couldn't you say that if she clued someone in, it was still Carolyn's move? You know, if she's brought the idea to the table and Mark has gone, yes, love it, let's roll with it, why is that not still Carolyn's move? Is she just thinking big move-itis here? Why is she not thinking that she can't clue someone in?
100%, because rarely, extremely, it almost never happens except for what we saw with Ray. And even he had some friends there. Never do people make moves on their own. They always need numbers because never does one vote make the difference unless it's like a massive idol play or Ray situation. So to think that it was going to be five votes on Mark and then she would just play the idol is so ridiculous that they wouldn't even split the vote. You have two people who you might be able to work with in Mark and Kitty. You could have split your vote somewhere if you wanted to and put them on, you know, in case of a double idol play, in case Ferris plays his idol. Like, there were so many options there for her with the two numbers that she might have. So she's trying to help Mark, and she has Kitty in her pocket. So she needs to use the power that she does have to make this plan happen. But she just maybe shooting for the stars, got a little bit too confident, and it's just all fallen apart. Now, just a quick question off that. It's obviously trying to make a huge move at Final Six is important, but you get through this vote and you are guaranteed into the Final Four. It's a carrot that's dangling right in front of you. I think it's worth taking.
It's worth taking if you're going to win the game. Like, it's like if she obviously feels like she didn't have a resume, she doesn't have respect. Alex explained it full-heartedly. We don't have respect for any of you guys except Kirby. Oh, that's what, in his opinion. You guys got to do something, Okay? If she's going to get, it doesn't matter if she gets to four and then even to three. If she's going to lose, she's going out, she's putting everything on the line. And she put it on the line, and she put it on the line wrong in this circumstance. Kitty, She knows Kitty better than anyone, and Kitty can't lie for shit. I completely agree. Kitty stuffed up the vote with Alex or something. No, was it? Oh, with Rihanna? She, like, literally, point blank said, I'm voting you, and then had to switch it. And, oh, I'm not voting. I'm voting with you. Sorry, that was what I meant to say. Kitty can't lie to save her life, so I can understand not Kitty. Mark, I can understand why she didn't because of that trust there. Like, Mark and her have been at each other's throats. Yes, they've worked together on occasion, but they've been at each other's throats for a lot of this game. So there isn't a whole lot of trust there. I think where she lost out the biggest here is just not having the social capital to be able to cause that change, to be able to swing the vote, and to be able to force people to go for Mark. And also not the forward thinking for what is the right move for these other people. I think it was Boston Rob, or it was someone who said, I find out what your best move is and I make it work with my best move. And that will keep people on side.
I think the whole thing here is she could have done this in so many different ways. I think if she was going to keep this idol move a secret, it would have been better off coming at final five. You keep the idol a secret. Maybe someone puts votes on you. You play an idol. Ferris has to play his idol. And whoever's immune is immune. You've only got two names. If they load up on Carolyn and she pulls out this idol out of nowhere, that is a big bloody move. And she can talk to that at the finale, at the final tribal. At this stage in the game, if she gets to the end, who's really going to vote for her? I can't see any scenario that she's winning, especially after doing this. I think maybe if she did this at next week's episode, sure, maybe she'd get more people on side. But as you said, the social capital was never there. It was all the right ideas. It just wasn't the perfect timing, and she could have done it so much better.
I'm really sorry, Leah. I've got to throw that back on you. Okay, she does. She hides it. So Kitty goes home this episode. Who's she going to fucking get out? If Kirby gets individual immunity and Ferris plays his idol at five, what, she going to do this huge move for Mark or Raymond? No one gives a crap about them anymore.
They're not a worry. You guarantee yourself into the four.
Other than the hidden immunity idol, which she's got here, that is no real move.
No, I disagree.
It's not a game-winning move.
No, well, here's the thing. You talk about the archetypes, and someone like Carolyn, finding an idol in itself, you know, that sort of...
It's huge. Huge.
Exactly, right. So if she's at final five and she can somehow get the numbers on her, which probably they're going to go for her, really, and she then pulls out the idol at five, it's massive in front of the jury. We see Mark talk about it at Tribal Council, like, subtle moves aren't enough sometimes. You need obvious moves, and this would be a massive obvious move. If all the votes were on her and she plays the idol at five and she's safe... That's massive. That's a game-winning move to some people. Not to me, but perhaps to others.
The votes aren't on her. Say Kirby is immune.
We don't know, but.
No, genuinely. Mark is the next biggest threat in this process. Why do you think his name comes up every fucking vote? It's because they need Mark out. Mark is the best talker there. He is brilliant at Tribal Council. Yes, he hasn't got on great sides of the votes. He doesn't have a great voting record. But Mark is well and truly the next hit list. And Caroline would play her idol on herself. It would nullify maybe a vote because Mark is probably having the conversation with the Fairy Kirby Raymond Alliance saying, oh, we need to vote out Caroline. And so it nullifies one vote and there's four votes on Mark. It doesn't work.
Yeah, okay? I know.
The smartest for Kirby and Ferris to go to the four with Raymond and Caroline because then one of them will win the... immunity chance, probably Kirby, and they get to pretty much choose between two goats and the other big player.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know. You say that, oh, yeah, we'll definitely be Mark or Kirby, but we don't know. If Mark wins immunity, I'm not 100% sure Kirby would be targeted at five because they might just save it at four because you want that biggest target to be the last one out. And sometimes, like, having that protection of we're all against one person in Kirby is the best way to get to the end. And how many conversations have we seen
it,
with...
It is as long as you get that person out. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. How many conversations have we seen between Ferris and Kirby saying, I want to go to the end with you? I somewhat believe that now. That seems
stupid.
Like a... No, but if that's what they're saying, it's hard to... You've got to take them at face value. We haven't seen in confessionals that they don't want that. All we've seen is, I want to take Ferris to the end from Kirby. And Ferris has not really denied that. So we don't know. That's what I'm trying to say. So if Carolyn gets the votes on her at five and plays the idol, that is big.
That's just as many ifs as what I'm saying.
Well, okay. Well, then I'm as wrong as you are then.
Yeah, we're playing with ifs here, you know. We can't predict what's going to happen, but I would think naturally the next move out is someone like Raymond. That's the last duo left in the game when you look at, you've still got Ferris and Raymond. Kirby's by herself, Mark's by herself. Sure, Mark and Carolyn have had a relationship, but I wouldn't call them a duo and I wouldn't say that they're any way on the same wavelength. So, I mean, I really could even see them going for Raymond. If Mark were to win immunity at five, Carolyn pulls out the idol for herself, Ferris pulls out the idol for himself, Raymond goes home, and it actually benefits Ferris.
Yeah, somewhat. I can see that. It was interesting
I don't know. That's sort of like the last goat, like the last proper goat in the game. I don't see anyone aiming at him unless he was the last option.
He's been brought up in episode 19 when Alex goes home at the spa. They do talk about, what about...
That was literally the next day after his move, but it was not brought up for the rest of the week.
No, but I think if I'm Ferris and I want numbers at the end, why wouldn't I want my two closest allies in Eileen and Raymond on the jury and securing a vote for me? Raymond's not voting for a single person other than Ferris. They are just in too deep and it's almost like big brother, little brother. He would not vote for Ferris.
Well, then can we talk? Okay, Caroline, you fucked up. I'm sorry. Let's get on to this Kirby Ferris shit. Okay. So Kirby's saying, I want to be the best. I want to beat the best. Now, first of all, this is a great line, but it's a great line for the best player in the game, the one that's going to win, to try and get someone to come with you that is a big enough player, but you know you're still going to beat. Correct?
Yes and no. I think Kirby generally wants to sit at the end with the best. I think Kirby's background as an athlete, they generally think they want to beat the best at the end. I think as a non-survivor fan, any survivor fan knows that going to the game to beat the best at the end is just beating them any time in the game and making it to the end and winning. You don't have to beat them at final tribal council. But I think being an athlete and no knowledge of survivor, you think I need to beat the best person in the grand final, in the final tribal council. But that's not the case. And I think she generally wants to take the best players to the end. And, you know, Ferris is arguably the second in line at the moment. So I think she will honour that if she's given the chance. I don't think she's getting there, but I think she's genuine when she says it to Ferris.
And I see that too. I, in no scenario really, can I see Kirby at the end in winning. I think you can see the jurors, they respect that Kirby's a big game player, but when you look at who's on the jury, she's backstabbed a lot of them. And as much as I want to say don't be bitter and don't take it personally, it's inevitable that people on the jury are going to be a bit bitter. I think if she sits up with Ferris, Ferris is much more likable. He's got his alliance sitting on the jury and the votes are just going to come his way over hers. It's just how it works, unfortunately. As much as I would love Kirby to win, I think if she takes Ferris to the end, it's game over for her. I can only see her beating out maybe Raymond.
I completely disagree. I think what we've seen from everyone is that Kirby is the biggest player. And the more they say it, the more it becomes like a self-fulfilling prophecy of Kirby's the best because we've all said it 100 times. And they believe it too. So, and like her game does stand up to everyone's, if not better. She's a well-spoken person. She's very like calm under pressure. As good as Ferris is too, I just think that because they're saying it, it's what they believe. So I think Kirby would win against anyone in the game that's left.
Yeah, so we've decided that this is a right move for Kirby, okay? And yes. That sort of brings me back to my original point. That's why she's saying it. To be the best, you got to beat the best. Now, is this the right move for Ferris?
Yeah.
Well, no, because I think Kirby's the only player in the game that beats every person. So like you said, it's in her benefit to just say it to everybody. I'm happy to take anyone to the end because I'm going to win. And when you are the best player in the game, you have that confidence to say, all I have to do is get to the end. I don't need to think about the final two or final three. I just need to make it there. And it's a different mindset, I suppose, of how you're trying to play. You're just trying to scrap through each vote and just get there. You don't need a firm pathway with certain people, whereas probably Ferris is probably thinking similar, but everyone else sort of has to make a path with these people because I can't beat everyone, but I can beat these people. So it's sort of a different way to play.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I would love a Kirby win, and I could definitely see how. I just fear with Kirby at a final tribal, we're going to have bitter jurors that are going to swing it the other way. I mean, you've got Alex on the jury. I really can't see. I know he said, I'll vote for you at the end. I can't see it if she's up against Ferris.
I think, like, majority of the jury, except for maybe Jaden, are fans of the game. And I think when you are fans, you can put aside you know, backstabbing and stuff. Like, generally, if you're a likable person, which Kirby is, like, it's obvious that she's so well-liked, so charismatic, you can put that aside. Like, if you had a war with them, you can still respect them as a player. If you generally don't like them as a person, which I don't think is the case with Alex and Kirby, then fine, I get, like, not voting for them. But there's a respect of, like, playing a good game, and you want to vote for the best player in your season. I think that's been said many times by lots of players. Like, you played Sydney Survivor. Like, did you vote for the person who played the best game, or did you hold a grudge against people? Like, how did you vote?
I voted for the person that I knew the best and the game I saw them play. I think in hindsight, when I look back, I definitely didn't vote for the best player, and I wish I voted differently. But I think when you're in that headspace, it's so different. On the, you know, a one-day game, a two-day game, it's so different rather than when you sit on the jury for a couple of days and you can deliberate. I think I would have voted different had I had more time.
That's interesting.
I feel like in this game where revenge has been the utmost, the biggest word said, it has been said from every single player somewhere along the way, I feel like we get to the final tribal council and there is no revenge. I think it is happy-go-lucky. We're all happy. We even saw Valeria. Valeria gets the shaft, like one of the biggest shafts in history, and she walks out with a smile on her face and she's happy as a Larry. So I see this all getting to the end. Everyone's happy-go-lucky, and everyone just votes the way they want the season to be presented. They vote for the person they want to present the season. And for Kirby, I genuinely believe it's in her best interest to keep Ferris on side with, to beat the best, you got to beat the best. But for Ferris going to the end with Kirby, I just don't see where that happens. And I'd love to go through all the jurors one by one in that scenario later in the episode, and we can really work this out properly.
Yeah, love it.
Oh, let's jump into the Rihanna boot episode. Now, the best part about it was when JLP quoted, Hurricane Alex came into tribal council last time. That was a nice little kick at Alex for, hey, you're as bad as Kelly.
A good throwback to his arch nemesis, yeah.
Who we think Ree needed to go at that?
Yes, 100%.
Well,
is it the right move for Kitty and Carolyn? Because they're seen to be the ones in the middle, and they have the option to go with either Mark or Rihanna. So I would say yes, because you want to break Kirby and Rihanna up. You know, throughout the whole episode, everyone's like, Rihanna's the biggest challenge piece, and it's true. Any endurance challenge, she will win. Like, she's proven to be so good. She won 3 out of 4 or something in a row. So you sort of have to get her out while she's not immune, at the same time weakening Kirby. So ultimately, yeah, I think it's the right move for everyone. But then when Carolyn and Kitty are faced with, like, oh, we can go this way, I think it was the right move. Just sort of break up another couple as well, and they're sort of still a pair at that time, so they still have a bit more power. So, yeah, it's probably the right idea.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, with Mark on the other side, Mark has had his wings clipped at this stage. Mark is a bird that is just literally trying to just claw his way through, because he can't do anything. He has no power in this circumstance. Whereas Rihanna and Kirby, between the two of them, won 5 out of the 8 individual immunity wins. That is a huge number. Rihanna's won 3, and she is so gifted at endurance. There is no one that beats her at endurance. Even Kitty, yes, she's a juggernaut, but Rihanna just held that one step higher and kicked ass. And Kirby, this episode proves that she can do this little finicky stuff. She gets the ball maze, the three-level ball maze, and now the dominoes. These are challenge beasts, and you just know you've got to hit them before they take you out, and both of them get through to the end.
Yeah, I also think if they vote Mark out there, then we're left with 3 pairs, Ferris Ray, Carolyn Kitty, and Kirby Rihanna. So for Carolyn and Kitty, if Mark goes, then Kirby and Rihanna become like the center pair that can go either way. Like, we've sort of seen Carolyn and Ferris work a little bit, but they've sort of always turned on each other, whereas Kirby's sort of in both sides, as is Rihanna. So I think that it would give too much power to Kirby and Rihanna to sort of dictate the next move. So I think, yeah, it's another sort of feather in the cap of why it was the right move to go for Rihanna.
Yeah. How good was Kitty saying straight to Rihanna's face, I'm voting for you? I mean, I'm voting with you.
Yeah. She tries her hardest. I mean, she's yeah, she's had a good game. She got to, what, she comes sixth? That's not
she
bad.
Did, she did very, very well. Yeah. She did very, very well for someone that probably came in not knowing a thing about Survivor.
It would seem that way from watching her, yeah.
Are we going to get into the tape gate situation?
The tape gate.
I've seen you on online.
We don't get into this. Now, what's up? Tell us about Tapegate. Can you enlighten us?
So, in the online Survivor community, we seem to have a large majority of people who either have never used sporting tape in their life and they're just sit-at-home couch critics. And I think people are struggling to realise that if someone like Rihanna is taped up, it's obviously for a medical reason. We've got people on the couch screaming, she's cheating having tape. And don't get me wrong, I get where they're coming from, but are we failing to recognise that if she's wearing tape, she's got an injury under it, okay? If she's still having to hold on to a friggin' rope for an hour, it's still going to hurt. If you're sweating, it's going to peel off. I would argue the tape is actually a disadvantage, but I'm going to defend this woman until I die. Rihanna is not cheating by wearing tape. End of story.
For those people, I don't know what the fuck you guys have been talking about because I guess I don't spend enough time on social media, but... Guys, like 90% of these is either been a ring or a rope challenge. Like most of them have got like scratches and clips on their hand and blisters coming out the wazoo. They are not comfortable. None of them are comfortable. Whether they got tape on their hands or not, they're not comfortable.
I just want to push back. Surely, yeah, and I haven't seen the discussion online, Leah. I'm not going to weigh into it. But here's my point from here. If I'm taping my hands up, regardless of the blisters underneath, that's better than no tape.
Correct.
So it's either give everyone a tape or don't give her tape. If you have blisters on your hand, that's your fault. If you can't hold the rope, tough titties.
But I don't think she is the one that has the say at the end of the day, even if she's taped or not. I think ultimately that's the duty of care of the doctors on site, and they go, you know what, you've got a cut under here. We don't want to risk an infection. This rope is filthy. We'll tape you just in case. I do get what you're saying. If one person's got taped hands and we are looking at it as an advantage, sure, tape everyone up. But I think at the end of the day, obviously there's something under there. She's still not comfortable. I mean...
And I think if the other cast members thought there was an issue, they would have brought it up and everyone would have been taped.
Because that's fair.
Like genuinely, if they thought that she had an advantage either way, then it would have been brought up by someone, then they would have rallied, and then they would have voted her out for having tape on her hands.
Mm.
So I genuinely believe this is completely fine.
Yeah, well, let's put it to bed then. Tapegate is not a thing, people. It's fine. You've heard it here.
You've heard it here.
We are the jury.
We've ended the war.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, I do, before we get into the Alex episode, which was the reason for this paranoia, I do want to bring up like how interesting it was to see Kirby on the back foot coming out of that Alex Tribal Council. She was genuinely paranoid. She was genuinely sweating. She had to win. She knew she had to win. It was very interesting seeing her stressed.
Yeah, I think that was her first vote against her after that tribal council, and I think that must be quite a shocking feeling, especially when you sort of have been on top for a lot of the game. To see your name finally come out, it must hit you. Leah, you would have experienced that in your time playing.
Oh, 100%. As soon as the mention of your name comes up, you know, your paranoia just through the roof. You really think that every conversation is about you, even when people are telling you it's not. I get it. I totally get it. It was really interesting watching Kirby be so paranoid the first time this late in the season. She's usually so cool, calm and collected and just can screw her head on straight and really has good reads. But it just felt this time we saw something shift in Kirby, and it's actually been really interesting.
Mm. I think from Kirby's, this is what I'm sort of gauging from what we've seen, is she came into the game pretty carefree, not knowing a whole lot about Survivor and just playing, you know, having fun and just playing. And she's at a point now where she's so close to the end, you can sort of taste the victory almost. And when you're the biggest player and you're getting singled out, you're like, oh, shit, like this might all just be taken away from me. And you start to probably really get invested in the game and what it is. It's more than a game. We all know that, but maybe she didn't realize that. And now she's in there. She's right at the end. She's probably emotionally super invested in it. And I think she just, even when she won that challenge in the last episode, she took a moment out just to collect herself, have a bit of a tear, and... Yeah, she probably realized, yeah, this means more than I thought it did. And when you hear your name, it really, oh, my dream's getting taken away. So it just hits you. And it was good to see like a nice side of Kirby that we sort of haven't seen much of this season.
I felt the same. I think that was perfectly edited and so essential to her narrative to just have that in there. Just also for the people on the couch who've never played and they might just be casuals, just to show that, yeah, it's a game, but there is mental effects it has on you. Imagine being out there for 30 days, you get so close to the end and you start thinking of, I haven't seen my family, I could win $500,000. I think it was actually quite beautiful and it made me feel emotional just watching Kirby go through that.
Yeah, well, they're almost at 40 days or something. So this is 6 weeks playing this, you know, mentally taxing game. Like, you played one day, and imagine that was, you know, fast and furious and just a whole lot of adrenaline. But imagine doing it for 6 weeks straight. Like, it just must take so much out of you.
Definitely. No, it definitely, it would take so much out of you, and you can see the vulnerability, which was just so awesome to see this from Kirby, who just, you haven't seen that before. One thing I did want to bring up was how personally she took the Rihanna vote that next episode. She has the necklace on. So all of a sudden, her vulnerability is now getting thrown straight back at these other players. Specifically, Kitty seemed to cop a lot of it. Was Kirby's phrases like, oh, can I get a knife? Oh, just wait, I'll just get one out of my back. And stuff like that. She was really throwing it, like she was really annoyed that all of a sudden, even though she'd blindsided all these other guys' friends, her friend got removed out of the game.
Yeah, well, I do think that's the best way to play it. You don't want to be like angry or bitter. If you can try and make a joke out of it and try and make it like a lighter situation, you're going to keep people on side. And that's ultimately, once you get voted for and once you're seen as a threat, you want to keep people on side, because if you go the other way, if you start getting angry, if you start getting... yeah, nasty against them, it's not going to end well for you. So I think making jokes out of it is fun. Like, she's obviously like a fun person. So like that would, if I was out there and she was saying that sort of stuff, that would be, oh, okay, she's cool about it. Maybe there's a path forward together.
Maybe I'm reading this wrong, but do you not get any venom in these jokes? Like, I feel like Kirby, yes, she's definitely cheeky, but these jokes definitely have something behind each and every one of them. Like, you think about how she talks in tribal council, it's always, oh, this is fun, this is exciting, but you just know that it's because it's at someone else's expense.
Yeah, but every joke has some element of truth to them. That's why they're funny. I think she did the right thing. Like, she's taking it the right way. She's taking it in a lighthearted way. If she took it, we've seen it in this season where, you know, Viola gets voted out, and then at the next challenge, they walk in and Valeria's like, oh, where's Viola? Where's my girl? Anyone, you know, got the guts to tell me what happened? And, you know, that sort of attitude with that nastiness, without being lighthearted, it doesn't go well. If Valeria had made a joke out of it and said, oh, you know, my best friend's gone, but I'll find a new friend or something. Like, that's the way to go about it. You want to seem workable. You want to seem happy. You don't want to seem angry.
Yeah.
You know, Valeria making that comment to Carolyn, it really, I think, put a target on her back. And you're right, she didn't make it a joke and she made it personal. And I think that's where we started seeing the edit shift Valeria from a really sweet, fun-loving person. She became knives out and everything was very targeted about getting revenge for V. And I have no doubt she's a lovely, lovely girl. They just obviously took that she said this thing once. Here, let's push her on this narrative.
Yeah, it just gives everyone another reason to vote her out. It's like, oh, yeah, she was pissed off that time, so let's get her out. Yeah, Kirby's making jokes about it, so they're not going to have that. They're not going to have any reason, you know. I think it was fine. That's something I would do. I would come back and try and make a joke out of it just to be fun.
I think that's all Kirby really had. If Kirby comes back to camp and she's guns blazing, why'd you get Ree? She's already, like, she's lost her right arm in losing Ree. She has no other choice really except to make lighthearted joke out of it, because she needs to now start buddying up with Ferris better than ever, maybe even Carolyn and Mark. You know, if she were to come back, she would be the next boot. She's already a threat. You can't now be a threat and coming for people.
No, that's exactly right. I think you're spot on, Leah. Do you want to move into the Alex of it all, Buck, and talk about, have we seen the worst tribal council performance in history in terms of maybe not being the vote, the target, and then just putting all the pressure on yourself and pressuring all your people who might be voting with you and just forcing them just to vote you out?
I don't know if we've seen... I don't think we've seen one as bad, but it didn't work out as bad for him. Mark still didn't vote him out. So he didn't turn his closest ally, but yes, he turned everyone else that was going with him. Whether they were really going with him or not is another question. Because obviously, yes, they're like, oh, 100% we would have gone with you, but whether they do or not, you can't believe anything someone from Survivor says. But he genuinely, told us that he was coming out. He was aiming at Curbs, and he aimed at Curbs and fired everything he had, even to the point that he was throwing shit, literally throwing shit. And Curbs handled it like a champ. She did get a bit flustered there at the end, but fuck, this was a tribal council to remember.
Yeah, and I think with Alex, really, he had two ways he could go about this. I mean, he obviously knew there was a target on his back. Is he going to sit down and let it come, or is he going to start playing into the resume building, which I think he did. And I think he had the right idea, but a horrible execution where you start threatening people with, well, what's on your resume and what's put you apart from the rest? And I get it, but he just horrible execution to start telling everyone Ferris's game plans and Kirby's game plans. And you don't throw people under the bus when you're trying to keep your name off. I'm sorry, but if I am Ferris in that situation and I am going to work with Alex and he starts telling the whole tribe that, oh, Ferris is also going to vote Kirby tonight, his name's getting written down. I don't care how close we are. As soon as you blow up my game, you are done.
Yeah, they sort of he sort of gave them no choice, really, but to vote him out because, like you said, you can't trust him now. He's blowing up plans, and this is the way he handled Carolyn. Like, it's so disrespectful to say, oh, you know, what moves have you made since merge? What have you done? You've done nothing this whole game. When Alex has been so far out of the loop this whole season, he's been in on no plans. He doesn't know what's happening. He doesn't know who's calling the shots. And from what we've seen, Carolyn's called many shots. And it was just so, like, poorly handled, really disrespectful, I thought. And just, like, coming from a player who's, you know, really the bottom of the barrel when we're talking about winner candidates at that vote, he's got no leg to stand on. I just thought it was horrible. I enjoyed the way he did start asking everyone the questions, you know. And he's like, hey, Carolyn, as a super fan, would you respect your game and this sort of stuff? And I was like, oh, okay, is he the new JLP? Is he going after Jonathan's job? I don't know.
Yeah, look, he definitely, there was a bit of fun in there, like in between the sort of bitter talks and literally offending people. But also, I just want to bring up and I want to add on to your point. If Ferris and Caroline, for some reason, did feel still to go for Kirby at this stage, it becomes Alex's move anyway. It doesn't go on their resumes. It becomes Alex's move because Alex has now flipped them. Or Alex has now wrestled them into voting for Curbs. So it's like giving yourself giving your partner an ultimatum. You know you're going to lose because they're just going to take whatever is the least option, the least effective option. They're not going to do what you want.
Yeah, I think this whole talk of resume and who's it's only one person gets it on their resume. It's a bit of a wank, to be honest. Like, I don't agree with it. I just think. Like, okay, not everyone who votes for someone out gets it on their resume, but, like, the idea of a resume, where am I going with this? Like, what is a resume? That's like, all you need to do is sit at the end with someone either less likable than you or has played a lesser game. So I think the idea of we have to have a resume is just, it's not the best way to play. I think your game should stand up to itself after 45 days or however many days they're playing and say, I deserve to win because I'm better than the person next to me. You don't need this move. Like, I don't know. I just think there's too much talk of resume.
What are we watching? We're watching Survivor, mate. Resumes have been around for, what, 60-odd seasons over different franchises? Mate, the resume's a thing. You do need a resume.
No, I disagree with that premise. I think it's just wrong.
I think it's just wrong.
Can you
explain it to me why it's wrong?
Well, there's plenty of ways to win. And yeah, sometimes, you know, you play the best game and you get rewarded because you have the biggest resume. Other times you just sit next to the person who's least likable. And that is a valid strategy. You can have no moves on your resume and beat that person. So there's more than one way to win. I'm sure there's others which I'm not going to go
into. In this season. In this season,
hear for what Max said, though.
Thank you.
In this season, okay, is anyone winning because they're less likable or they're more likable than the other people? In this season, with all these big moves, with these huge plays the entire way through, are you saying that are someone, any of these five people, let's go even the seven or eight people when Alex was in, can any of them win this game for something other than the moves on their resume? Tell me one person.
Well, do you think Ray beats Carolyn just because he's more likable? Because I do.
I disagree.
Okay, well, there's one. Okay,
I disagree completely with that just because Ray literally, his huge move from last week gets brought up in three sentences over the space of 20 minutes. Before the first commercial break, we did not hear any more about Ray's move. It was a nothing thing.
No, but if Ray sits next to Carolyn, I think he wins. I think if Ferris is on the jury, Kirby's on the jury, Eileen's on the jury, even Val, I think, will swing a vote at him. Jaden loves Ray. I think Ray's just such a lovable guy, whereas Carolyn's rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. If Ray sits with Carolyn, who I would argue Carolyn's a better player and has made better moves, and I think Ray wins. Ray's aligned very well with Ferris, and he's made that one move, but he's just lovable. He makes camp enjoyable. I don't know one person with a problem with Ray, but I know at least four with a problem with Carolyn.
There you go. So resume building. You look back at Ko Rong. Yeah, Michelle Fitzgerald beats Ty and Aubrey, the two biggest resumes in the game, and she wins because she's likable.
Yeah, which we love that season because it's awesome.
Hello, yeah. Russell
Hammond. Yeah, biggest player loses because he's not likable.
There you go. So resume, yeah, fine, but like it doesn't. It's not the be all and end all.
Yeah,
I stand by that.
First of all, I still don't agree that Raymond beats Caroline. I really don't agree with that. I think in this season, with the big players that will be on the jury and Raymond's limited moves, I think Ferris is going to, because it's not Ray winning that, it's Ferris winning that. So Ferris is really going to have to push that for Ray. So I don't know if I agree with you with that, but I can respect where you guys came from there. I very much respect it. And you may have flipped me a little bit, but I still believe resumes are a needed thing and you need big moves on it. And a lot of these players don't have a whole lot of huge moves on it, but they have a lot of over-the-time moves. Like Ferris, this fucking idol is still in the game. How is this still in the game? And, like, is getting to the final five with it. Does he even use it on himself? He probably goes in there and doesn't use it on himself.
Yeah, my question... Go there.
I have wanted to talk about the Ferris idol thing. Do we think he is going to play it at five, or is he going to keep it as a souvenir? Is he safe enough to take it home?
Would that be a bigger move to not play it? If he plays it and he doesn't need it, is it bigger just to keep it in your pocket and pull it out at Final Tribal? Because as far as I can tell, this idol is not public knowledge. He sort of said he had an idol, but no one's seen it. He's just sort of, if you remember back at the swap, I think it was, he was yelling out, oh, I've got the idol. He was in the water. And yeah, he was very flamboyant about it, which sort of implies that maybe it's not real. Like, is it actually confirmed to people that he has one?
Everyone seems to say to the camera that it's confirmed that Ferris definitely has an idol. We haven't had speculation about this idol for a very, very long time. I'm just wondering, is it a bigger move to take it to the end? Because in most seasons, I'd say no, it does not really matter unless it's like a full surprise idol, like the Marianne in 42. That idol was obviously a surprise and it definitely gave it brownie points in the game. But most of the time, I say just play it at five. Because no one needs a souvenir. It doesn't help you a whole lot, especially when people know that you've got it. Whereas Ferris, because he's hidden behind it for so long and it's been such a good ally to him, it could help with his final pitch.
Yeah. Well, he can say that he bluffed it for how long. But I think the only reason I think that people don't know about it is Carolyn's convinced that everyone's voting for Mark and she's going to play an idol on Mark and vote Ferris out. But if everyone's voting for Mark, Ferris will know that, and then if he says an idol on Mark, he'll play his own idol. So the fact she thinks this plan can work means to me that she doesn't know that Ferris has an idol.
That was something that I thought about myself. Yes,
I'm not sure that very it's correct there. Public knowledge.
It might not be. They might not be 100% on it.
I don't think he's showed it to anyone, which is why there's so much confusion about if it's real.
Except Raymond. Yeah.
Except Raymond. Yeah.
Yeah.
But to use this illusion of I have an idol. Since the swap, which is, a long time ago, to have that, this in his back pocket, it's pretty good gameplay. Like, you have to give it to him. Like, he's convinced people that he might have
that's
an idol.
It's a huge move.
It's that suspect in a game that's so fluid, you can't split numbers because you don't know who's with who for this vote. So it's given him protection this whole time. He's going to go to five, and you know, he's guaranteed four, really. He's going to play it if he needs it, and if he doesn't, he might pick someone to take with him. So, yeah, it's fantastic.
Some could say resume building.
But does it matter?
Doesn't matter.
He's definitely managed having an idol properly, right? We see plenty of people with idols and they say, oh, it burns a hole in your pocket. An idol should never burn a hole in your pocket. It should be there as your reassurance, your safety net. If you have it and never have to play it, I'd argue that's a better move than playing it or playing it wrong, because you've navigated socially and strategically and maybe physically to never play an idol and never even feel stressed that you have the idol. It's just, it's chef's kiss to Ferris.
Yeah, I think there'd be always like a need, like, oh, they're probably voting for me. I've got the idol. I might as well play it. But he's done really well to keep calm. But also at the same time, back when Eileen was getting targeted during the swap and obviously the merge, I think they're not targeting Ferris just in case he has the idol. So it's that, you know, it's that, what do you call it, implicit immunity that we can't vote for him because we're not splitting a vote. So we have to take out, you know, Eileen or Ray or, you know, whatever. So, yeah, he's used it really well. Balls of steel, really, to me. I think he's done super well.
Okay, guys, I think we've talked about the episodes enough. Let's start talking about the possibilities. What's coming next week? What is going to happen? And did we want to do previously on Survivor early and get into this, what we think is going to happen next week?
Previously on Australian Survivor.
Let's do it. Let's do what we said last week.
I have no idea. It's impossible to predict. But I would say these people are going to get voted out. Kitty, because she has no edit. Rihanna. And there'll be a non-limb though. We're going to have Rihanna. We're going to have Rihanna non-limb. We've got Kitty going. And I would say Alex.
Spot on. No non-limb, and the order was wrong, but spot on. Well done,
that
CK.
That was unbelievable. How is this guy? He's been on one podcast and he's got more ticks than we have all year.
Man, the amount of people that we got texting after that podcast about how good that one was amazing. It was more than we've ever had.
It was a great get. But you know who's better? Leah Jacobson, because she's right here with us. So,
Next week is going to be the big reception ever. You bet it.
I bet.
Can I just
what did I say?
Before we keep going on, you just he was saying non-limb next week, so apparently it's been confirmed no non-limb final two. I've heard this today.
It's been confirmed.
That's what I heard.
I love a final two. I've pulled it up online. It's confirmed. It's final two, and I'm so happy. I've been dying for a final two again.
Yeah, I love it. I think it's the best format. I think the final three probably got a bit stale. I think there's always someone that can't win, and it's never really like a ding-dong battle, whereas when you have two people, it's literally me versus you, put the other person down, lift yourself up, whatever you got to do to win, I much prefer it.
And that really fits the Ferris v. Kirby narrative of to be at the best, you got to beat the best. What are the chances we are going to see that Ferris v. Kirby final two?
It's pretty bloody good. It's now that changes my whole scheme of thinking, because that was one question I wanted to ask you, is how they're going to handle this. But a final two means so much, and we genuinely could see a Ferris Kirby final two. That is awesome.
It's set up for it. I mean, the whole season's been these two almost. Could you imagine if they actually faced off? This would be up there with. I mean, it's already up there with the best seasons ever, I would say, but. Yeah, Ferry Kirby's final two. This could elevate it to a new stratosphere.
Two rebels, yeah.
All right, before we can talk about all this in our predictions for next week, but let's hear at what you said, Buckles.
Kitty go a non-limb, and then Rihanna going.
Two out of three, I suppose, with a non-elim in there. So that's pretty good.
Well, how was I supposed to know there was a final two coming up?
We picked people to get voted out. We don't pick.
I needed that third tick. I was hoping to
you got
just
two.
Kick it.
It's not bad.
I got two.
All right, let's see if I can beat that, which get? I don't think I did. Well, I think Ray is certainly, he's going next week. I just can't see him coming back from this. I'm putting Ray up. I think Mark and Alex might take over the game here. They're both sort of free agents. All they need is one of the two pairs to join with them, and then they have the numbers. So I'm going to go Carolyn because surely she's got to go at some point. She's been on the block for so long. And I'll go Rihanna unless there's a non-elim. So ding, ding, ding. Rihanna, yes, please. Thank you.
You're lucky there was no non-elim because otherwise you would have choked completely.
Mark and Alex running the game. I mean, that was close.
Yes.
This is a hard season to read, isn't it? Like, I've had a shocker. And, I just didn't think Ray would come back after the move last week. I thought for sure, you know, they would just hate him for it. But maybe I just misread this whole thing.
No, I definitely was on the similar wavelength with you. I know I wasn't on the app last week, but I really thought Ray was going to go Ree and Kitty. I just thought, as you said, given what Ray did, he was a sure thing to get out. And also, It's Ferris's right-hand man. Why wouldn't you? And I also did sort of see Alex and Mark coming into a power position and see sort of a men's alliance start to dominate. The edit has not been helpful.
Yeah, look, I will say Mark and Alex discussed All Men's Alliance at the start of the first episode of the week. And, yeah, it might have happened, but then Alex picked his Spar Award people and it just sort of – he could have just taken the boys and got it sorted, you know. But, yeah, Alex has ruined my predictions yet again.
Alex, I hear Alex ruins a lot of plans, unfortunately. I don't know if you noticed, if you've been watching this season. Okay, guys, let's start talking about what the fuck is going to happen next week. This is exciting. Final two.
Next time on Australian Survivor.
All right, guys, let's get into this. Let's start rattling these down one by one. Okay, I see Mark going at 5. Raymond goes at 4. Caroline at 3. And I see a Kirby Ferris final 2 with Kirby winning the game. Yeehaw. She's the only person with the edit that can win the game.
So I was adamant that we'd get our first male final tribal council. I'm a big feminist, but I was really hoping to see the men run with it this season. However, knowing it is now a final two, my opinion has completely changed. I think we're going to see Ray go next. Then we're going to see Mark or Carolyn third, fourth. And then I'm hoping the Ferris Kirby final tribal. But I think Ferris is taking home the win. That's my man.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right because he's my man too. But, all right, Mac, come on, hit us. What do you got?
I think it's funny you think the final two would, you know, not be good for Ray. I think if it's a final two, Ray is a lock in my eyes for a final two. So I'm going to say after what just happened, Carolyn's going to be targeted for trying to do this, pull this move on everyone. And I just think Ferris has the power this week. I just think he has Ray, he has Kirby for this first vote. And they're going to vote Carolyn out. Then Mark will be the next one out because, you know, Ferris and Kirby can fight it out. I think Kirby goes at 3, and I think Ferris beats Ray in the end. So that's my prediction.
Well, Ferris, my winner pick, wins with both of yours, and I'm the only person going against him. Sorry, mate.
No faith. He wants to change his winner pick, Ferris, if you're listening. He said, I don't want him anymore.
No, I don't want to. I love my winner pick. I'm just not sure they're going to win at the moment.
I just think he's in a spot now where he has the idol at 5, so he's definitely safe. He has the power because he has Ray. He has the most relationship with Kirby out of everyone left, and he's somewhat working with Mark too. So I just think he, at the moment, he's the one with the most connections, which means to me he's going to make it to the end.
All right, guys, let's go through. Let's talk about the winning paths for each and every player, and I'm going to throw this first one to Mac. How does Ray win this game?
I do think Ray has the hardest task to win. However, if he's sitting next to the only person he beats is Carolyn for me. So to get to the Carolyn win, sorry, to get to the end and beat Carolyn, how does he do that? So Endurance Challenge is the last challenge of the season. Carolyn wins that and takes Ray. So all they have to do is get down to a final three with someone else and someone that Carolyn can beat. Maybe, who does she beat in endurance? It's a tough road for Ray, but that's the only path. Carolyn wins the final immunity and takes him and he wins.
Are you happy with that, Luke?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Leah. All right. Leah, how does Mark win this game?
Oh, geez. Mark wins this game. Firstly, he's got to send Carolyn to the jury or sit with Carolyn. I think Mark only beats Carolyn and Raymond. I think if Carolyn's on the jury, she'll swing a vote to Mark if he's sitting next to someone like Raymond. I don't think he beats Ferris and I don't think he beats Kirby. I think, yeah, the only way for him to win is to sit there with Carolyn or Ray, but I think
Mark's path forward is exactly that. Carolyn just played Idol on Mark. So they're, you could say they're bonded in a way. So they're two. If you get Kirby on your side and say, hey, Ray and Ferris are a couple, we need to break them up because otherwise they'll march to the end. Kirby votes with you now and you're a two of four left in the game. There's a path there for you to go forward. Kirby then goes at four. Mark, Carolyn, Ray final three. Mark wins in any combination if he's there. So there's a path for Mark. I think he's probably the third in line, but he's a definite dark horse for this.
And I also feel like Mark's going to be a lot better at endurance challenges than we probably have given him credit for in the past. He definitely puts everything he's got into it, and he literally is there till the last second he can hold on. So I genuinely think he has the grit to get through on a endurance challenge against pretty much anyone but Kirby. I think Mark is almost the second best chance to win an endurance challenge out of everyone there.
And let's just add in, Mark is a diplomat. If Mark's at final gravel, he knows how to talk his way.
Well and truly. I completely agree. That's why I put him out at five, because he is the biggest threat.
Yeah, we've sort of seen him throughout the season, especially early on where he was, you know, the invisible hand and doing all this thing with the mafia. And he would sort of plant ideas in people's heads and convince them that it was a good idea, that it was their idea. So he's obviously good at manipulating people in a way that makes them feel good. And that sort of skill in a final tribal council is, you know, he would destroy everyone there, I would say. But, that begs the question, is final tribal council performance more important than your overall game? And that's something, you know, we see a lot of talk about, you know, oh, he had a great final tribal, but really it's the game that backs it up. Like, fine, you can bring up Christy Bennett as that swayed the whole jury, but rarely does that happen. And it's got to be so unique for a jury to be swayed on that night. Whereas opposed, if I look at your 45-day game, you know, they usually base it on that.
Yeah, definitely. Look, Mark against Carolyn or Raymond, in with a huge shot, chances are he wins quite comfortably with both combinations. However, yeah, against a Ferris or a Kirby, no matter how good of a talker he is, just remember, we haven't actually seen Mark and Kirby go at it at Tribal Council, which is, that would be good. Oh, holy fuck.
I think there's a world where Mark could beat Ferris. Honestly, I don't think their games are too far apart. Like,
there's a lot of titans on that jury.
Yeah, that's the thing. It is about social relationships, and Mark's game's not horrible either. And like, as much as we love Ferris, if you look at the way he's voted and you know, the way the situations he's been in, it's not always, he's never really been on top or, you know, dominated as much as we think he has, because he's just the biggest character of the season. We get a lot of him because of his character moments, but it's not like he's played a flawless game at all. So there's a world where Mark beats him, yeah.
No, definitely not. Look, Ferris, I'm not going to say he's played a flawless game. He hasn't. I think the reason Ferris is so high up on everyone's list is because he has played from the bottom and he's gotten out of it. He's played from the top and he's played it well. And he is also just had a magical reads throughout the season. Even if he did not always go with his hunches, he still had magical reads that he knew something was up, and he is very good. And I think that's why I've been so high on him all season, is because he just seems to understand people and the game.
Yeah, I think he's probably a better player than the game he's played credits him for. I just think he could come back and just play a much better game and dominate an entire season. He's a really good player. But he's played a game, well, I guess it's situational. He's been put in situations and he's worked his way out of them. But yeah, not in flashy ways, I guess. Like, he just sort of, he's, I don't know what I'm trying to say. He's done well, but I think he's better than he's shown us.
All right, well, before we get on to Ferris's winning path, let's talk about Kirby's Winning Path. Now, I genuinely believe Kirby's Winning Path is to win out to the end, and it doesn't matter who she sits next to.
I think she could get through Final Five without immunity. I think there's a world where either Carolyn and Mark want to work with her, or Ferris and Ray want to work with her to become the majority in the Final Four. Because there's sort of two pairs and she's sort of in the middle, I guess. So there's a world where she doesn't have to win at five, but then she would have to win at four and three for me. What do you think, Leah?
For Kirby to win, I think I agree. I really can't see her winning next to Ferris, but against anyone else, yes. She's got the resume. If we're going to talk about resumes, I just think as much as game should respect game, I think people have more of a sway towards Ferris.
Okay, so how does Caroline win this season?
Caroline, she's a chance. Like I said, if Mark and Caroline team up, they get Kirby for this first vote, they're into the four, and they have, you know, two out of four.
Get Ferris out.
Yeah, and then she takes Ray to the end. Like, I don't think it's that far-fetched, is it? Like, it's not. Does she beat Ray? I'm not so sure, but, you know.
So realistically, the numbers we need to crunch, so the jury votes that we need to crunch is between either Caroline and Ray and Ferris and Kirby. Because they're the only sort of definites. Oh, and I guess we could, I'd love to do a Ferris and Mark. That'd be interesting as well. But okay, and Ferris, how does Ferris win? We've already sort of explained that.
Well, he's in Final Four. If Ray's in Final Four, then they have the majority of two out of four, like a solid two. So he's sort of going to win that vote, really. And yeah, he just, so he has to get, does he win a final immunity challenge? That's my only concern. And then Ray might take him if Ray wins it, but does Ray win the challenge? So really the third person in that trio wins. Are they going to take Ferris over Ray? Probably not. Like, it's not the easiest path forward for Ferris.
That's why I'm so confused why, like, how you guys think it's, like, how you say it's going to be Ferris and Ray. And who did you say it was going to be, Leah?
Yeah, Ferris and Kirby's looking ideal. It really depends on the challenge. I mean, like, if Ferris wins at endurance and it's between...
He's not winning in endurance.
But if he does, if Kirby slips, if we have a Lee and Christy and Kirby slips, yeah. And Ferris is there, he takes Ray.
Yeah, I'm sort of leaning more for Kirby-Ferris then, because if Kirby wins... Yeah, if it's final three of Ray, Ferris, Kirby, which is sort of where I'm thinking it is going, Kirby probably wins that challenge and, like we said, she probably takes Ferris.
Oh. So now that that you guys agree with me, okay, now let's do the votes and let's crunch the numbers and let's work out who's going to win between Kirby and Ferris.
Run through the jury.
Okay. All right, so last person voted out, let's say it's Caroline. Okay, who does she vote for, Kirby or Ferris?
Ferris, yeah.
Ferris. She said it on the edit.
Ferris. She said it on the edit. Okay. Raymond? Ferris.
That is a tough one because he sort of works with both at times, but there's...
He hasn't really ever worked with Ferris. They've never actually had an official work together vote.
They've had plans together. Whether or not, have they not followed through? So what do you think? You're thinking Kirby, are you?
I'm thinking Kirby for Mark. So that's 2-1. So now we've got Kitty. That's Kirby straight up.
I would say Kirby. Leah?
Yeah. I'm like...
Rihanna? That's Kirby?
That's definitely Kirby.
Alex, who does Alex, he's called out Kirby and is saying she's the biggest player. If Kirby gets to the end, who does he vote for?
I think he said that, but if Ferris is sitting with Kirby, I think Alex goes on his bromance with Ferris. He's worked with Ferris-ish.
He seemed pretty pissed off with Ferris at the end, and he definitely had a lot of love for Kirby about how good she was at the game.
I don't know. I think the fights that Alex and Kirby have had might outweigh the respect he has for it. If it's Kirby against Ray, yeah, fine, he votes for Kirby. But if it's Kirby against Ferris, like another legitimate option, I think he goes Ferris.
Okay, well, let's leave Alex on the back burner for a second. Okay. All right, Viola. Valeria, sorry.
Ferris.
Kirby.
I would say Ferris, yeah.
Why would Valeria vote for Ferris? She had a working relationship with Kirby and she attacked Ferris at Tribal Council.
Actually, no, yeah, sorry, yeah. I guess back in the swap, she sort of did choose Kirby's side. I did sort of forget about that. Yeah, no, she probably would vote Kirby.
All right, so we're at 4 Kirby, 2 Ferris, and Alex on the bench. Okay, so now we've got, who's next after that? We've got Jaden.
Probably Kirby as well. He was working with her at the end.
Okay, so that's five. And then we've got Eileen is...
Eileen, so that's Ferris. So that's 5-3 with Alex on the bench.
With Alex on the bench, so it's either way Kirby wins.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know exactly where the jury's voting, but that's a rough...
Oh, no, we don't. We don't. That's all. That's pretty rough hypothetical. And we're very tossing and turning about Alex. The rest we're pretty happy with.
Yeah, Alex, Mark. I mean, Carolyn's not locked on anyone. Yeah, I don't think Valeria's locked on anyone either. So I think there's options there.
I think Valeria's locked. However, yeah. You're right about Carolyn and Mark. They could go either way, depending on the final tribal council speech.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's going to come down to, it's going to be really close, and you're going to have those people who aren't in one solid camp that are going to be very much swayed by the final tribal speech.
And I do think Kirby's game is out in the open. There's not a whole lot more she can talk about, whereas Ferris can come from behind and bring up things that haven't been seen or haven't been talked about. His entire game isn't just out on a silver platter. Whereas Kirby's is. So Kirby goes into a final tribal council, she's just saying what everyone already knows. Whereas Ferris, I think, could pull out something that just like...
But I don't think he... wins the game. He doesn't have anything like that in his armor. I hope he pulls out. I think being an obvious game like Kirby, and like when you say everyone already knows it, they've been thinking about it for weeks at Ponderosa. It's so hard to pull stuff out at final tribal council unless it's like groundbreaking to pull that out and get the votes. Like... people's minds are sometimes already made up.
Well, we did talk about that. We talked about the idol.
Yeah.
We talked about the idol, unless he pulls that out at final tribal council. Could that get him over the edge?
I'm not sure that it would. Would it? Like, yeah, it's something, but is it groundbreaking? I don't know. Like, we've just seen season 45 US where, you know, it was back and forth battle between Dee and Austin, and she pulls out the groundbreaking move of, you know, I told Julie to play the idol. And that's huge because Austin didn't know about it. It blindsided him. But I'm not sure if Ferris has anything that monumental that people don't know about. It's all subtle moves, which are all good. They all add up. But to bring that to tribal council and do it on the day to change people's minds who have some of their minds will be made up weeks ago, like that's a tough ask.
That definitely is a tough ask. Look, it's definitely plausible because subtle moves over a long period of time can be great fucking moves. Whereas Kirby's not going to have any of that. But at the same time, you're right. I don't know if that is, like, I don't see enough of them for him to sway, enough votes. Because at the moment, what, he's at 3-5. With Alex, we don't know where he goes. He could be in a bad position of 3-6.
Well, if it's 5-4, he only has to sway one person. So it's not a huge swing, but it is an uphill battle for sure.
I think Ray's popcorn advantage, it actually, if you talk to it, I think it actually might disadvantage Kirby if it comes out that she was in the loop on that one, because I think Ferris and Kirby have played similar but different games where, you know, Ferris has been very, very loyal to certain people, but he's still flipped around. I think it's expected that Ferris would know about the Ray's advantage, but I think hearing that Kirby knew and sort of let that out on Val, I think that would potentially sway Val to vote for Ferris, maybe even Mark. But yeah, I think Ferris is going to really have to talk to his ability to read people and to spot when people are lying if he's up with Kirby.
Now, that's good. And I think what you're saying is his ability to read people and spot lies. We've seen it from the TV audience. He's been doing it so well, but that's such a subtle thing to explain, and you need specific examples to come out. And yeah, even if he gives them, is it going to be enough? Like, oh, you read me. Oh, yeah, good. Like, is that worth the vote? Like,
there's a few examples of him at Tribal. Was it the Charles vote out where they said, let's put them all? Or was that Eileen to Ferris?
Yeah.
Eileen to Ferris.
Yeah. So he's been some of them, but, yeah, it is going to be really hard to talk to. I think he's
realistically, Ferris's only actual move that would have been pulled off was the Rihanna vote out earlier in the game that didn't happen because Kelly went. That, unfortunately, that is sort of the biggest move that he can sort of do. And then probably this Rihanna vote, because realistically that was his vote. He was the swing in that circumstance.
Right. So it seems like Kirby's got the likability factor and she's got the resume, but Ferris has just a bit of likability and social game. It is going to be tough. He's going to really have to blow him away.
This is interesting. I like this because we keep sort of going to and from between the two. Like, these are two huge players. Fuck, I hope this is the final Trump Council. If not, we've just wasted, like, what, 15 minutes?
No, but this is what everyone wants to listen to. Everyone wants to hear about Kirby and Ferris because they're the two main characters of the season. This is why we've watched the whole season. This is why it's been such a great season, is these two have carried it.
Is anyone going to be mad if either of them win? I think they're both very deserving winners.
Oh, definitely. They're both great players. And regardless of what they come, even if they come fifth and fourth, like, they, to, for me, they're the two best players of the season. Mark probably a close-ish third. But, yeah, I'd be stoked if one of them won.
Hear, hear.
Hear, hear. So, okay, everyone get ready for a Raymond Caroline final for Trial Council. Okay, let's, all right, guys, let's eulogize things. Let's eulogize some people. Let's talk about Alex, okay? Alex, as a character, was, I don't know, it was, I know, as a character, it was great. As a player, it was a bit topsy-turvy. And when I say topsy-turvy, I think of Simon, I think of Charlie Brown, I think of he could not get his shit together.
And I don't like to talk about people in this way, but right when I saw Alex come in that first day on the jury and I looked at what he was wearing, I thought, okay, so not only does this guy have no idea about anything in the game, he also has no idea about fashion. Just
isn't baggy shirts fashionable?
He was wearing just two different patterns, shirt and pants. It didn't look well. And I hope Alex's girlfriend has sorted him out.
Maybe I'm not into fashion enough either. Leah's been raging all week about this. Oh, he can't even dress himself.
All right, well, Alex's memorable moment, guys. Right, come on, what do we got for this?
Picking himself back up at that challenge where he needed to win. And unfortunately, he didn't and he got voted out. But he almost completely fell and he had mustered up the strength to pull himself back up. I think you cannot top that.
I can definitely top that. Yeah. The Kelly confessionals constantly, the whole start of the thing. But I completely agree, Leah. That was fucking sick. That was really cool to watch and good on him. Like, Alex, if you that the one thing you can hang your hat on.
I think memorable moment for me is his boot episode. They pay homage to him and how he has come up with this plan and he's going to tell Kirby and it's going to be a fake plan and we're going to get out someone. And it's like he's all in his own head thinking he's playing this mastermind strategic game. And we know that it's not coming off. And it's so fun to watch him. Yeah, he's swirling his wine in his dressing gown. He's like this evil Bond villain with his plan. And you just know it's going to fall apart. And it's just so much fun to watch. And look, as a character, that's what he brought to the season. It was a lot of like falling over and doing the wrong things and being on the wrong side of the vote and being overconfident when you didn't have the numbers. And that's what we loved about him. I loved him. I thought he was great. He's great for the season. He added a lot of entertainment. I thought him versus Kelly was a great pre-merge rivalry. I thought Kelly brought the best out of Alex in terms of we got so much fun out of Alex, just him describing Kelly. And these are some great things to be remembered for. Like, he's a great character. As a player, he was really bad. Just nothing went right. Couldn't get in on plan. He just had that poison touch where anything he was involved in just turned to shit. And unfortunately, that happens to some people. But that doesn't matter to me. Like, he's a great character. And, yeah, will he return? I don't know if he will, but I'd be happy if he did.
Yeah, Alex coming back. I'm not sure if we can get a whole lot more out of him. However, if he did come back, it would be awesome. It'd be great TV, and no one would ever work with him because he's very bad luck. Now let's talk about Riri. Okay, Leah. Raider as a character, Raider as a player. Give us a most memorable moment, and will she return?
As a character, she's a bit bland. They really didn't bother with confessionals, which was a bit upsetting because I think she was pretty well in a good position. I think she was in with Kitty and Carolyn and Jaden and Val and Kirby. It's a shame we didn't get more of her, obviously, though. Memorable moments got to be winning, what, 3 immunity challenges. It's just, it's mental. It's giving Hayley Leak. It's just giving Girl Boss. I loved it. Will she return? Unfortunately, I really don't think she had the actual character behind her to return, so I really don't think it would be worthwhile her returning as much as I love her.
Yeah, I do agree with the character. Unfortunately, we didn't see much. She had a few confessionals here and there, but there was a reason she wasn't narrating the season. There was not a lot of substance behind her confessionals. As a player, she picked the right alliances. I don't really see any of them being her moves. She definitely sort of stuffed things along the way. She definitely wasn't Alex worthy at stuffing things, but she definitely made mistakes here and there by putting votes in wrong places. She stuffed up the Mark plan to get out Caroline just after the swap. Then again, she stuffs up another plan. Oh, no. Then she votes wrong, obviously, at the merge vote.
And the Sarah vote.
So it's, Sarah vote. She's just, it is a little bit interesting there. Memorable moment. Have you got anything that pops out, Mac? Like, yes, I guess the three immunities are pretty big.
No, that's probably it. Because like I said, like she didn't get a huge edit. But yeah, apart from like just being a challenge beast, she didn't have a whole lot going for her. Well, she had the bandages.
She definitely could hold on to a rope. That's for sure.
Tape gate.
Tape gate. Yeah.
That's a memorable moment. It's tape gate.
Yeah. Okay. For me, as a player, she was actually, I think, better than probably what we saw. Like we see during the swap, like some of her best work socially, gets in with like Kitty and Carolyn, and really forms a good bond. Obviously, she has Kirby. It's hard when you're the sidekick to like the number one character of the season. You're not going to get the airtime. Do I think she's a great confessionalist? No, but I feel like she's the type of person that, you know, everyone's got a friend like Rihanna. She's a little bit bogan. Just, you know, meet her at the pub for a cine and a beer, and she'd just be a good chat. As a character, yeah, like that's sort of what she is. As a player, yeah, she's okay. So in Challenge Beast, had to get her out before the end game because she might have just run away with it, which is a legitimate strategy in itself as well. So is it a resume builder winning challenges? Probably not, but you can win that way as well. So,
we'll find out if Kirby wins away to the end.
well, that's slightly different, but yeah. Will she return? I would be shocked if she came back.
Okay, now let's talk about Kitty, another riveting character. I actually really, really liked Kitty as a character. It was actually a shame we didn't get as many confessionals. She had a very direct way of speaking, and I actually found it quite entertaining. And just how she narrated, from almost not knowing what's going on, that narration that she gave was... I really enjoyed Kitty on this season. I was very impressed, and especially not seeing her at the start of the season and then sort of her character building up a little bit as we got a little bit later. As a player, she can't lie. Her best mates don't trust her in plans. There's definitely some issues here. I do think it wasn't a bad move for her to flip back in the day when she flipped over to the Rebels, but they lost out. So, like, I guess she, like, but it still wasn't a good enough move anyway to class it as a good player. I'm going to go, she wasn't a great player. Her memorable moment is, I'm going to go physical as well. She is a tank. Good on her. You're killing it, Kitty. Well done. I think that is the biggest memorable moment that I can think of, other than, I guess, how much she wanted to steal Kirby's necklace off her last night.
Yep. For me, as a player, she was okay. Similar to Rihanna, it's hard when you're related to the, sidekick to the big character in Carolyn. You don't get the confessionals, so a bit hard to get understanding of like what she was doing, but seemed really socially integrated, you know, early on, middle-aged mafia, big part of that. During the swap, she got Rihanna. It's like she was the one to connect them to Rihanna to Carolyn. Like she was the middleman. She was linking with them and Sarah as well. And then she, even Scott at the merge, met Kitty for one day, and all of a sudden, I love Kitty. Yeah. I can't vote her out. And, you know, he had this dilemma with that. So she's obviously a decent player in terms of social game. Strategically, she seemed like the type of person you just give the plan to, which is also fine. She tried to make, you know, flip here and there. Didn't really pay off. But at least she was thinking. And as a character, yeah, like I said, got less edit because of Carolyn. She wasn't really that much fun in confessionals. And will we see her again? Probably not.
I would absolutely die for Kitty Bloomfield. I think as a woman, she is such an inspiration to other women and middle-aged women for getting on the show and kicking butt. She's just amazing. Unfortunately, I don't think she's got the strategy behind her. I think her social game is definitely unmatched, as Max said. I just think I would have loved to see her without Carolyn and see how she adapted to the situation. She definitely was very well socially cemented. I don't think she'll return. I don't think she'd even want to. I think for her, she's about living life. Why would she come back? She had a good time. But, yeah, loved her as a character despite her not so great big move, you know.
Yeah. All right, too easy. Let's get on to my favorite part of the episode, Buckle's buff of the episode, and let's kick it off with episode 19, straight up, Kirby. The argument with Alex, it's either her or Alex. Kirby stays. Kirby gets my buff.
Yeah, really tough episode. Can I minus points from Alex for just completely just having the worst episode of ever?
He doesn't have any points. He has no buffs.
Does he have no buffs? Okay. Can we give him a negative one anyway? So it's a bit of a stretch. It's very hard to find someone in this episode. I landed on Ferris. So Mark sort of comes to him and say, you know, let's make a plan together, this all boys alliance thing. So he's the one that people are coming to. The girls will go off on their little thing and everyone's saying, oh, we all trust Ferris. Great spot to be in. Yeah, he's got Ray. He's number one psychic. He's got an idol. He's in a good spot. So for limited reasons, Ferris gets the buff.
If you could give a buff to the person that got voted out, I would give it to Alex. And I think that's only because we got so much of his content. I liked his strategy in the reward challenge to go back and talk to Mark and have a strat chat. Unfortunately, he didn't follow through, so he's not getting my bloody buff. But it was his best episode. My buff, I'm going to just give it to Riri. I think Tape Gate, she wins a challenge again. She actually, we see a bit of a strategic side to her in the hot tub with Kirby. Very minimal, but I think she's got to get it.
And episode 20, my buff goes to Ferris. I think with Kirby on the back foot and being paranoid, this puts him in the best position. He also gets out her closest ally, which just draws her even closer to him and gives him the chance to possibly go to the end with her next week. I think Ferris gets the buff quite comfortably for that one.
I've gone with Carolyn. I thought she and Kitty sort of found themselves in the middle of getting to be the ones to actually choose the side they went with. They chose the correct person, Rihanna, to go home. If they didn't, then they'd give all the power to Rihanna and Kirby for the next episode. And she's the one that sort of realizes that, hey, Rihanna's this challenge beast. If she goes to final challenge, especially, like if she's in the endurance challenge, she's going to win. We must take her out before then. So I give credit to Carolyn for that. She gets the buff.
And Leah?
I'm going to give my buff to Kirby on this one. I think Kirby has the realization that at some point she needs to split from Ree, even though she doesn't want to. She wins the immunity when it counts, even though it's at the downfall of her closest ally. I think Kirby is just, she blew me away with it.
Okay, nice. And episode 21, look, I really like to give this one to Ferris, but I'm actually going to give this one to Kirby. And the reason I give it to Kirby, again, she wins individual immunity when she needs it because I really genuinely believe she is well and truly getting fired at if she loses. And I don't know if Raymond votes with Ferris, whether Ferris wants to save Kirby or not. She also gets Kitty out. In my mind, the best person this is for is her. I think Ferris has options with other players, with possibly getting a Caroline out might be better for him. Whereas with Kitty stands between Kirby and winning that last challenge. So it is best for her in my mind.
Yeah, I've also gone Kirby for all the reasons you said. In an episode where there was no real standouts, not that she stood out, but she sort of gets it for those reasons. She makes that final to deal with Ferris, which I think might come to fruition. She seems still in control, you know, and she's got this immunity as well. So Kirby gets the buff.
Leah?
Yeah, 100%. It's got to be Kirby again. She knows that now with Rhi out, she has to win again. She's in the right spot socially. Yeah, got to be her.
Okay, there we go. Well, I'm excited to tell you about the top of this leaderboard here, but let's start at the bottom. So Garrick and Jaden both on one, both have gone home. We lose Rihanna and Kitty on two. They are joined with Elaine, Charles, Eden. We had Scott and Valeria go home on three. They're joined by Raymond, who's still in the game. Carolyn's fourth place on four. Equal second is Ferris and Kirby on nine, and Mark somehow still slides through this week as top of the leaderboard on 10. So, nah, this is exciting. This is good because I have a feeling Mark's not going to finish on top. And Ferris, if you get the buffs, remember to hit me up because I'll give you a buff.
I love it how Ferris and Kirby are tied. It's so, like, apt for the season.
It is. It is.
It's poetic.
Yeah. Definitely, definitely. Okay, Leah, hit us up. Let us know what you got going on. Anything you want to plug?
Just, like, keep slaying, everyone. Keep living your best life. I don't know, watch Sydney Survivor for some amazing Leah content. Nothing else. I'm pretty boring otherwise.
Did you want to chuck out your socials so people can hit you up? You don't have to.
No, if they want me, they'll find me.
Oh, wow.
Wink, wink. Mac, what have you got going on? I hear there's a pretty awesome US podcast coming up.
Yes, big get this week. Buckles is having the week off, so myself and Michael Prionis, I'm pretty sure that's how you pronounce it, Canberra Season 2, Robbed God, fourth place in Canberra Season 2. He will be coming on the podcast with me. We are recording on Friday. Should be out Saturday to discuss Season 46 of US Survivor. It's such a different game to the Australian one, but all fun nonetheless. Michael's got some hot takes about he actually prefers US Survivor, which I think is insane. So I'm sure we'll have some heated debates. Should be great.
Yes, I'm excited to listen to that on my week off. Which I thank you so much for having last week off.
What have you got going on, Buckles? Why do you have a week off? Explain it to me.
I just figured I'd go up to Brizzy and check out their finale parties. Nice. I've done a few Sydney ones, so I'll go check out Brizzy's. So hopefully I get to meet some new cast members. I don't know, I think Mark and Caroline both live up there. I might get lucky, who knows? So I'll head up there, a bit of partying, a bit of social. Just have a bit of fun. I'm also more excited about our guest next week, and that is Michelle Pierce-Denovan! Yeah! Woo! Woo! Perfect finale guest. So excited to hear her take. She's always got such great opinions on these seasons, and I'm sure there are a lot of people that want to listen to her because I don't know if she's talked too much Survivor this year.
Just before we wrap up... The Sydney viewing party is on Tuesday at the Agincourt Hotel near Central Station. Always a lot of fun. Get down there. I'm pretty sure I'll be going with my wife and a few other friends from the community. Just come along. If you don't know anyone, just have a beer, have a chat. We watched the episode. It's a good time. Really good atmosphere there. Leah, are you coming? Just before we wrap up, the Sydney viewing party is on Tuesday at the Agincourt Hotel near Central Station. Always a lot of fun. Get down there. I'm pretty sure I'll be going with my wife and a few other friends from the community. Just come along. If you don't know anyone, just have a beer, have a chat. We watched the episode. It's a good time. Really good atmosphere there. Lee will be there.
And then for anyone that's actually cool, come up to the Brisbane finale viewing party, the Transcontinental Hotel in Brizzy at 6 p.m. their time, not our time.
Well, if they're going to that party, the time will be 6 p.m.
Anyway, guys, get us on Facebook at Buffs Blinds, Survivor Buffs Blindsides about it. Get us on Instagram, Survivor_3BS. Get us on Twitter or X at Survivor3BS and on TikTok at Buffs Blindsides and Banter.